It's in our baptisms, refreshing waters, that we can be reminded over and over again, even in wilderness places, and maybe especially in wilderness places, that we are, in fact, God's beloved, God's chosen, God's daughters and sons, in whom God takes delight.
Hello, and thanks for choosing to listen to the sermon from Pastor Keith Fry and Evanston's Emmanuel Lutheran Church. This sermon is from Sunday, January 12, 2020. Emmanuel Lutheran Church is a Reconciling in Christ congregation. We welcome people of every age and size, color and culture, every sexual orientation and gender identity, socioeconomic status, every ability and challenge. We welcome believers and questioners and questioning believers. Come join us Sundays at the corner of Sherman and Lake in Evanston. And now, here's Pastor Keith Fry.
And grace and peace to you from the God whose voice thunders over the waters, calling us beloved. Amen. Several years ago, I had the great privilege of touring Israel and Jordan for 3 weeks, seeing a lot of the archaeological sites that are mentioned in the Bible. It really helped the scriptures come alive for me. And during that trip, I got to see the place where Jesus was baptized by John. Well, actually, I should say places, plural, because there are competing baptismal sites, both purporting to be the authentic site. The first one we visited is set in this gorgeous park up in the northern part of Israel, in the Galilee, along the banks of the Jordan River, which at that point is wide and gently and swiftly flowing, very picturesque and restful. It's a green, cool retreat from the hot desert sun. There are shade trees all around, covering beautiful flagstone terraces that lead down to the water with gentle stone steps so that American Christian church groups can come and get themselves baptized, or rebaptized in most cases, in the waters of the Jordan. Now, we won't dwell on the theological problems of getting rebaptized, since baptism is basically a one-per-customer event. But there, in case you didn't bring your own from home, you can buy a white baptismal robe right there in the gift shops, along with little souvenir bottles so you can smuggle Jordan River water home with you as a keepsake. Top off the experience with an ice cream bar or a very expensive Coca-Cola. Then get your souvenir photo taken, delivered to you in a genuine cardboard frame with the words, "I visited Jesus' baptism site," emblazoned across the top of the picture of your face, so you can remember the experience forever. The baptism of our Lord meets Disney World. Now, the second side of Jesus' baptism is not nearly so scenic, nor nearly as picturesque. It's further south, across the river on the Jordanian side of the river, near where the river empties into the Dead Sea, east of ancient Jericho, right where the tradition says that the people of Israel crossed into the Promised Land. It's reached by a bus ride through poverty-stricken Jordanian towns and Palestinian refugee camps plopped down in the middle of scrubby desert. Goats scramble around abandoned tires bleating. You pull up to a visitor center of sorts, but it's really more just a room with a few explanatory placards. Then you set out down a trail through gray, dried-out mud flats, feral cats wandering around through the scrub brush. And it's an inhospitable place all around. You wend your way through this brushy wilderness, descending toward the river. And at some point, you come upon a few simple wooden shelters that cover the remains of three ancient basilica-style pilgrimage churches. Though there's not much more to be seen than a couple of pillar bases and the remnants of a mosaic floor. As you near the river, there are a few olive trees here and there and some rushes. And then you arrive at the baptism site, which is accessed by a few wooden steps that look like your backyard deck. And the river here is only a muddy little stream, stagnant and foul. It seems that at one point, even in recent history, the Jordan at this spot was still a flowing river, rushing to the Dead Sea. And that rushing water was probably what Jesus and John saw and felt. But the Israelis and Jordanians and Syrians have all dammed the river upstream to siphon off water for agriculture and for human uses and pour waste into it as a natural sewer. So now it's only about 25 feet across and so filled with sediment that the water is dark brown. And a sign warns you not to enter it. It's hard to imagine what it might have looked like when Jesus came there to be baptized. On the other bank, just yards away, is a barbed wire enclosed Israeli visitor center for this baptismal site, made of poured concrete and dirt and designed as a bunker, accessible only with permission from the military, standing as a silent testament to the strife that tears this holy place apart and walls the two countries off from one another. Here there are no souvenir vendors, no beautiful terraces, no ice cream machines, just a simple standing baptismal font, crudely hewn from limestone. So you have two such contrasting sites, one beautiful and idyllic and orderly, and the other a barren wasteland, bearing the gritty marks of human greed and ignorance and the emblems of human violence. Now, which of the two would you prefer to be the authentic site? And which do you suppose is almost certainly the authentic site? Not to burst your bubble or ruin your fantasies, but it is in fact the second site, the disappointing site that archaeologists agree is the most likely site of Jesus' baptism. Scripture tells us that it was across the Jordan and that John the Baptizer was out there in the wilderness, a desert dweller. And those pilgrimage churches whose remains we see, who are among the most ancient church remains we know of, suggest that folks have been revering this site from very ancient times. Scrub brush, feral cats, muddy water, and all. This is probably where Jesus' public ministry began. And then it turns out that the Israeli Ministry of Tourism established the other site as an alternative pilgrimage site when the likely authentic one became inaccessible to tourists because of strife between the countries. I'm still wrinkling my nose. I still have this vague sense of disappointment. Like many of us, I was raised on Sunday school art with its idyllic renderings of biblical scenes. I remember the tree-filled painting of the mighty River Jordan that stood in back of the baptistry in the little Baptist church in Texas where I was baptized by full immersion. But I want cool, green, shady Jesus, not dried out mud flat and muddy water and feral cats Jesus. I want sparkling crystal water and a glistening white robe and a lush landscape. Throw in a few orange trees in bloom. Okay, maybe the authentic site was a little bit more attractive in Jesus' time. But the fact is, this has always been wilderness, surrounded by a wasteland. Why would Jesus choose such a God-forsaken landscape to get baptized in and to launch his public ministry? You see, we want God to come to us in beauty and in majesty and in calm and in tranquility and lushness. We want Jesus to come to us in a garden where he walks with us and talks with us and tells us we are his own, not to call us out to some nasty, barren wilderness where the earth is cracked because it hasn't tasted water for months. We want God to come to us in peaceful, happy homes where our children are always grateful, our spouses never disappoint, where financial problems never loom, and where illness never darkens our door. We want God to come to us in a lovely church building, in an assembly where beautiful, loving people who are always orderly and thoughtful and kind and unselfish gather and always make one another feel good. Not a ragtag, messy assembly of people who behave sometimes in ways that can hurt or offend or disappoint, or otherwise fail to meet our expectations of perfection. A collection of bruised reeds and dimly burning wicks, who sometimes act in ways that do not match our status as beloved children of God. Surely, we think, this cannot be the place if it's not perfect. How can God be present, we wonder, if everything is not a paradise? But you see, that's exactly where God comes to us. The wilderness is the whole point. God loves to show up in the wilderness, in the unexpected places of our world and of our lives. And Jesus, in going out to that place that we call God-forsaken, shows us that there is no place on this earth that God has forsaken. No place on this earth where God cannot be encountered. God ripping open the heavens and calling down into that wilderness and then descending peacefully and dove-like into that setting demonstrates to us that it is precisely in our wilderness experiences, in our disappointments, in the unexpected places of our lives, that God shows up to claim us as beloved daughters, as beloved sons, comes to bring us peace and to refresh us and anoint us for service to our world. We want perfection. We want paradise. We want everything to be just right. We want a Disney World world. And when we don't get that, we think surely God cannot be present in this place. But out there in the wilderness, in the moments of our deepest disappointment, when we find ourselves feeling like that parched ground that is cracked from long being a stranger to water, we remember that it was in the wilderness that God gave his people Israel water flowing from the rock. It was out in the wilderness that Jesus was bathed in God's cool, life-giving water and rose up out of that water to set about healing this world. In our parched times, God bathes us and refreshes us once again with reminders of the cool, fresh water of our own baptism. And it's in remembering our baptism, baptized in water made life-giving through God's own word of promise, that we can once again experience God's Spirit coming to us dove-like, bringing us peace and energizing us for service. It's in our baptism's refreshing waters that we can be reminded over and over again, even in wilderness places, and maybe especially in wilderness places, that we are, in fact, God's beloved, God's chosen, God's daughters and sons, in whom God takes delight. It's in the wilderness that we as individuals and we as the people of God called together here at Emmanuel, just like our brother Jesus, are anointed with power and sent out to love and to serve and to quench the thirst of a parched world. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Keith. And again, we welcome you to come join us for our Sunday service each week at 10:30. The Emmanuel Lutheran Church is located at the southeast corner of Sherman and Lake in downtown Evanston. Thanks for listening.